Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week, where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
I am Stanford Simon. It is a joy and pleasure to be with you once again, and welcome to the program Inside Finance. And today we will have two interesting gentlemen we will be speaking to. I have Mr. Kerry Peer, Acting Chief Budget Officer, and Mr. Justin Hazard, Budget Officer. They'll be talking to us about the budget, and as you know, budget not too long gone, and we had a lot happening there, and I hope they're able to give us some explanation, including one of the things I know that people ask, space that they're talking about, fiscal space. So we will talk about that a little, hopefully, and get some explanation on that. We take a word, we come right back after I start my discussion with these two gentlemen here from Ministry of Finance.
The pastor and members of the St. George's Baptist Church wishes all Grenada a happy independence, celebrating through challenging times with optimism and resilience. Happy independence, Grenada, from the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back, folks. Thank you for joining me here today. As I said, I'm Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance, and with me in the studio is Mr. Kerry Peer, Acting Chief Budget Officer, and Mr. Justin Hazard, Budget Officer. Welcome, gentlemen, to Inside Finance.
Pleasant good morning, and thank you for having us, Pastor Simon. It's a pleasure to be here once again.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pastor Simon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's good to have you all here. I've had Mr. Kerry Peer. You've been here before. Mr. Justin, you're new to the block, so I'm looking forward in having this discussion with you about the budget. I mean, I have my knowledge about the budget, but I still don't know a lot about the budget. I'm sure a lot of my listeners want to have a clearer understanding of it, and think that's one of the reasons why you're here to talk to us about that. So how long you have been there, Justin, within that department?
Well, I'll put it this way. I've been in the government service for over 29 years now. Wow. But only in the budget department of July of 2017.
Okay, so you're new to that department.
That department, but within the Ministry of Finance for 29 years.
You've been around.
Yes.
I have been employed with the Government of Grenada Ministry of Finance from 2005. So I've been there for a lot less time than Justin. But I've been working with budget since my employment. So I started off as a budget officer. I know I'm the acting chief budget officer at the Ministry of Finance. But don't let Justin's time at the budget unit, give you the wrong idea. You know, Justin has been intimately involved with budget, maybe from the other side of the table, from since I've been at the Ministry of Finance. So he's had some experience in it, It's just that now he's looking at it from the side of the budget team and not from the side of the ministry looking to get some extra cash.
To get some extra cash. All right. So tell me, when did the budget preparation started for 2018? When did that commence? Because you have that long interval of the budget is done, money started spent. But when do you start planning for the following year?
Okay, to be precise, I believe we would start in earnest the budget preparation in July into August. And I say in earnest, because at that point in time, once we have at least 6 months worth of information, financial information, fiscal information, we would then do some projections, or we get some projections done with the help of the macroeconomic unit, and we would use those numbers now to guide our budget preparation. So the macroeconomic unit would look at the broad figures. They now have half a year worth of data. Mm-hmm. We can do projections for the rest of the year and the following years. We try to do a medium term forecast. We look at about 3 years worth of information, mm-hmm. worth of data. You know, so we would use that information that we have, and we would come up with what is called the macro numbers, the big numbers. You know, we would look at how much revenues we are going to collect for 2018. You know, given that amount of revenues, how much expenditure can we facilitate for 2018? And we have those broad numbers, and that happens just in the July-August period. At that point in time, we would now send out to the ministries using what we call the budget call circular, giving them, of course, limits, you know, giving them some information as it relates to the macroeconomic situation in Grenada and worldwide, so that they have a sense of the environment within which we are operating. And we would ask them now, you know, having that information, to please use that to guide the preparation of their numbers for the following year. So July, August 2017, in earnest, the preparation starts for the budget for 2018.
Okay, so it seems that the budget is being prepared earlier every year for the past few years. How did you accomplish that? How did you get here? Because it seems to be always a rush at the end in the past years, but it seems that you have done a better job in preparing for the budget. How did you get that happen?
Now, constitutionally, we are mandated to prepare a budget. However, with the enactment of the new legislations, the fiscal responsibility legislation, the amendments that we would have made to the Public Finance Management Act and its corresponding regulation, we are now mandated to have a budget prepared and presented to Parliament before the end of the fiscal year. And it actually gives us, I believe it's 60 days before the end of the fiscal year. So we have until the last day in October, generally, to have before Parliament or to the Parliamentary Finance Committee a copy of the budget for the following year.
That's the end of October.
October. So at the 31st of October 2017, the Parliamentary Finance Committee would have had in their hands a copy of the budget numbers for the estimates of 2018.
And who make up that committee?
The Parliamentary Finance Committee is a committee that is appointed by Parliament. Given that there is not an official opposition sitting in Parliament at this point in time, all of the members happen to be members of government.
Okay.
But when we do have an opposition, the Parliamentary Finance Committee would normally have members of the opposition as well as members of government.
Okay, so it's a mixture of
persons.
It's
a mixture of both.
All
some
right.
Oversight committee, and I guess, you know, in order to have some balance, you would want to have both sides of the political representatives seated at it.
To have a good spread and an open discussion.
Transparency.
Now, how different is budgeting at the government level from budgeting at home?
I believe the only difference is maybe the size of the wallet that you're managing. And I say that because budgeting in its simplest form is simply a plan of where you're going to spend the money that you make and a record of where that money is coming from. So, I mean, when you have a budget, what you're looking at is how much am I going to collect and where am I going to put it? And it's the exact same thing that we do at the government level. The only thing is that we're looking at approximately 27, 28 different ministries and departments, whereas in your home, you're dealing with a much smaller figure. You're looking at that the revenues, your income from maybe yourself, you know, and your spouse, and how you're going to distribute that. If you have kids, you know, and your different obligations, how you're going to spread that across those different obligations. At the government level, we're looking at a much larger number, but the process remains the same. It requires planning. It requires recording of your income and your expenditure, and a clear idea of what your objectives are. You know, what is it you hope to achieve? You know, so like I said, it's a matter of scale, but whether it's your personal budgeting, whether you're budgeting for a home, whether you're budgeting for a company or for government, the process remains the same. It's just your level of detail that you're paying attention to.
So it's the same process.
It's the same process.
Just you have a bigger wallet to deal with in government. So Justin, now tell me, you have been in the ministry, I mean specifically dealing with the director now directly in the department where you are. How do you find the interaction with minister, and have they been complying with the given limits? I mean, politicians have a way of wanting to do, and you as the people who are in control, to making sure the public servants, to make sure that they stay within the limit that is budgeted. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, no ministry is really happy with the allocation they get. You find that all the time. You know, they always requesting more. But the budget is guided by the fiscal responsibility law, which give us some. We cannot go over 2% of primary expenditure of the previous year. In that, if we, for example, if we spend, let's say, $500 million in 2017. And 2% of $500 million is about $10 million. We cannot spend in 2018 over $510 million, so to speak. So we have that legislation to guide us. So we cannot go over that 2% of the previous expenditure.
Is that a new legislation that have always been there?
That is a part of the new legislation. From 2015.
Okay.
Yeah. So that gives us the legal authority to keep them within.
So the politician can come and bully you to spend more than you need to.
That's right. So whatever allocation we have there, we have to work with that. In terms of how these allocation is allocated is a different story. Which government set the priority, but we are guided by that. So many issues would always want more.
Always want more. Just a matter of note, can you move money from one ministry not spending the money? Can you move it to another ministry?
Yes, you can do that. We have what you call a reallocation warrant. And in doing so, you must get the permission of both accounting officers of different ministries. And there are places where you can move money from and places which you cannot move money from. In terms of, I say that, there are the current side of the budget where you can move the current expenditure to one another. The personal enrollment side of the budget, which from what is allocated from salaries, you cannot move from there, but you can always move to there. So reallocation, yes, and that's give us a leeway in terms of with perhaps a particular ministry might not use up all the allocation, but there's some situation where another ministry need these funds because you could only spend what is approved by Parliament, that appropriation bill. So that's where you only could shift money within that pool.
So that leads me to this question. At what stage does Cabinet consider the budget? At what stage you take the budget to Cabinet to be considered? This is the budget for the year.
I can probably shed some light on that. Like I said, the budget call circular, we normally would send that out usually within the first week in August. And we ask the ministries to submit their budgets to us. When that is done, the budget unit has the responsibility of collating all the information from all of the ministries and departments.
So there's a budget unit within the Ministry of Finance.
Ministry of Finance. And that unit puts all of the information together. We compile it. We check for errors. We make certain that it fits within the laws which guide the process. And we would present that to first the Minister of Finance. Then it goes to Cabinet. After going to Cabinet, then it goes to the Finance Committee. So if we have the Finance Committee at latest receiving this document at the end of October, we would usually try to have it in Cabinet, within the first week in October. So Cabinet gets a chance to sit and review the budget before it moves on to the Finance Committee.
What happens after Cabinet has approved and said, we find that the budget is okay, there are some couple of changes that we want to make? What happens?
It's ideal that Cabinet looks at it and approves, with a couple little changes that they want to make.
So you don't want Cabinet to make no big changes to it?
In real life, we do sometimes have some intense discussions as to where to allocate, what to allocate to, what should receive priorities. So Cabinet will look at it, Cabinet may recommend changes, sometimes significant changes, and we would now take that information back to the budget unit, try to incorporate these changes, and let us be frank, the changes is not just about increasing allocations, because remember we're working with a limit. We're being guided by macro numbers, and if the macro number says that what we can collect for the year is $500 million, then that is what we need to work with. unless, of course, through some policy decision, mm-hmm. where you might have, for example, the increases in taxes, which is not a very popular decision. So that is not one that we see happening very often. But you may find through efficiency measures, for example, we might decide to broaden the net, as we say. As we know, the public servants' taxes are deducted. Income tax, for example, is deducted automatically from the public servant. You have other professionals who we may need to register them. So we would probably go out and say, look, let's get all of the registered doctors in. And now they now would have to pay the income tax as well. So we broaden the net. We try to capture as much of the professional working class as possible so that we can get as much of the taxes as possible. And you may find that you have some increase in revenues. So there's this balancing game that has to take place
between cabinet
between the figures, the macro figures that we have, the limits, the caps
right.
that
Which
we have, and meeting, of course, the requests that cabinet has. That is why they said that the budget is both a political tool and a technical tool, because it's political because it's supposed to reflect the needs and desires and wants of the directorate,
because
but at the same point in time it's technical,
right? Because the government has campaigned on some particular things and
exactly.
they want to deliver that
exactly.
Now let's look at the priorities. If you could share that with us, what are the key priorities for the budget 2018? If you could talk to us about that, because there is in everything there are priorities, a vision of what government want to accomplish. So talk to us about what are the key priorities in 2018 budget.
Well, you know, government did achieve sustainable economic and fiscal gains from the recently homegrown structural adjustment program, and government will want to protect that. Some of the priorities in the 2018 budget is basically one, they would like to consolidate the gains and stay the course of the fiscal prudence, so stay fiscally prudent, enable fiscal and debt sustainability, manage fiscal risk, build economic resilience, improve doing business environment, promote job-rich and inclusive growth, modernize and improve the public sector, and enhance social development. These are just some broad statement, but government will also have a focus, the priority on ministries or particular things. For example, I think some of the priorities of government is one, education, health, youth development, housing, physical infrastructure, agriculture and fisheries, tourism, energy development, information communication technology, public sector modernization. And you will find when government set these priorities, different ministries form under these categories, and allocation is
given,
allocated according to the different ministries. Our budget also is, we have what we call in the preparation of the budget, one of the major things that you find in the ministries is your output and your outcome, and these form and also the vision of the ministry, and also these must be incorporated in also the vision of what government want to do for that particular year. So you will find that all these priorities for the 2018 budget have to be aligned, and it's come together as one package as a budget.
Let me just remind our listeners, I'm speaking to Mr. Kerry Pierre, who is Acting Chief Budget Officer, and Mr. Justin Hazard, Budget Officer. Now, with all of that and everything that one do, there is a particular team that need to be delivered that is clear and distinctive. What is the team of this budget? What is the team of government for this year?
The team for the 2018 budget reads as follows: safeguarding our gains and continuing our progress.
Means what?
Simple. Very, very simple, but all-encompassing. It highlights the fact that we've been through a very tough, what should I say, 4 or 5 years. We've just successfully completed the homegrown program. And that program would have required us to meet certain requirements. We did quite a lot of legislative reviews. Coming out of that program, as you would have heard me mention, we had the fiscal responsibility legislation. The Public Finance Management Act was reviewed. Its regulations were reviewed. There are lots of other bits and pieces of legislation that was also enacted coming out of that. And the idea is that even though the program has ended, let us not fall back doing the things that we did before that got us, you know, into the situation that we were in before. Hence, Justin spoke about the 2% surplus that we must guarantee each year. You know, we cannot end the year, you know, where we have, you know, much more debts than we would have had gains. You know, so the legislation clearly states right. that, you know, we must always work with the aim of getting 2% surplus in our budget, and that means now that we have to monitor, you know, and we monitor on a monthly basis, but we do what I would call significant analysis on a quarterly basis. So every quarter we compare how we would have performed against our budget, and if, for example, we realize that, hey, in the first quarter, our surplus, you know, as it looks, is now 1% instead of 2%. We know that we need to either cut back on spending, become more efficient in our revenue collections, but we must adjust accordingly. And that is why these guidelines, these best practices, were placed into law, so that change of government, change of staff, change of reorganization of ministries, it doesn't matter. The best practice is there to guide us to be fiscally prudent, you know, to do the things that we really and truly need to do.
Two interesting questions I have. At what stage is the budget now? I mean, where are we in terms of 2018, in terms of government? Secondly, these ministers, election is close. Spending of the 2018 budget, has it started yet?
The spending of the budget, of the 2018 budget, can only happen after we would have had the budget assented to by the Governor General and the general, what we call the general warrant, issued. The general warrant has been issued. The budget has been assented. It's no law.
Mm-hmm.
And given that means spending can begin. Unfortunately, we have not started as yet because we're just finishing up the electronic system, making certain that everything is okay.
So they haven't actually started spending from 2018 budget.
A check has not been issued out of the Ministry of Finances yet.
Wow. We in the middle of...
Yes. And that is not usual. That is not usual.
It's not usual.
Usually we would have that done, you know, all of these things would have been done by the first week of January.
Right.
That is usually our target. However, we are actually doing some updates in the system. And as it is with IT, it is the lucky day when you're doing an update and everything runs smoothly. So we did encounter some problems in the system, and that is being rectified. But we have it on the best of authority from the IT unit that as of Monday we should be able to start.
But I must say, what is actually taking place now too is that we will send out the budget guidelines and implementation also to the different ministries, which will give them an idea of the ceiling for the first quarter and how they will prepare the cash flow, which they have to send back to the budget department. Mm-hmm. The budget guidelines implementation will have a series of things that these departments need to adhere to. And so the process now is basically these ministry supposed to read the guidelines and adhere to it. And that will make the process of spending and allocation very easy for the budget.
Who police these ministries that want to spend money? Who is the police in the Ministry of Finance for the ministers and the ministries?
To be quite honest, each ministry has an accounting officer. Each ministry has, and they're named. The accounting, the position is actually named in the budget. So that officer is accountable for every cent that is allocated to the ministry.
And they are accountable to who?
To the law. The new law actually has bite as well as bark.
Okay.
It does speak to fine and or confine.
That is for the budget officer in the ministry.
The accountable officer within the ministry. And any other person who has the authority, you know, or may not have the authority, but any other person who, you know, handles government cash, government money, whether it's collection or whether it's spending.
This thing is serious.
It is serious. Yes, it is serious.
Very serious. I mean, serious. Much more serious than it used to be.
Than it used to be. Yeah. Than it used to be. So, as it comes to the policing, like I said, the ministry has an accountable officer, and the accountable officer is aware that they can be held accountable. Mm-hmm. So it is within their, I believe, their good common sense to make certain that they're aware of what is going on. But that is just within the ministry. The budget office, the budget unit, has, as well as the accountant general's department, has a role to play. We also monitor, you know, very closely what is happening within the ministry. So very often, if we see something going off track, we can always call up the ministry and ask, hey, what's happening here? You know, you need to pay attention to this. I have a red flag coming up here.
And that comes out of your
that
ministry.
That comes out of the Ministry of Finance budget unit.
So, Justin, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was saying the policing, and I guess he was thinking, because that's what Kerry was alluding to, as a budget officer. We all assign different ministries, and we also have the responsibility of releasing, because we'll give those ministries a cash flow for a particular period, and they have to they will give them a ceiling, and they'll have to make the cash flow within that period. What we do is that we release every month what is you are having that cash flow, and you cannot really spend over that unless there's you might say, okay, you know what, the first 3 months we will need X amount, but by the end of the second quarter, we will not need all that, because our program entitles us to spend much more in the first 3 months of the year than the last second quarter of the year. So we, as budget officers, we have that control and we have that monitoring, so we do some policing.
So we just out of time, but it's hard then for a ministry to go over their budgeted amount in this period with the new law then?
With the new law, it's harder, but it can still happen. And I say that because a ministry outside of the information system that we use to monitor and control may be able to commit government to expenditure. For example, the purchasing officer might be able to go to Hubbard's, and because of the good relations that they have with Hubbard's, say that, look, I need a 5 new set of tables for the ministry. Hubbard's releases, because the relationship they have with the officer. And when the officer gets back, he realizes, hey, I didn't pay enough attention to this, you know, I only have enough funds to pay for 3 tables and not 5. You know, so he now comes into the system, realizes that he can only pay for 3 or not 5. He has 2 options. One of the options is to return the extra tables to Hubbard's if Hubbard's would accept them back, or contact the budget office and said, look, I overspent on my quota for the period, you know.
For the month.
Can you, you know, facilitate, yeah, you know, that you transfer some of the next quarter into this quarter, and I'll watch my spending for the second quarter. So there, you know, it's a bit of give and take. But to be completely honest and technical, a ministry, as I explained, might be able to commit government to expenditure outside of the system before it actually reaches into the system. It should not happen, because accounting, if you're accounting properly, you should always be aware of what your totals and your balances are. But we do have the occasional.
All right, gentlemen, we're out of time. I hope you all come back. I mean, I think we need to dig deeper into it, because it helped me to have a clearer understanding. This is just an introduction. We came and further building on that and helping person to understand what you do in the budget office. I hope next month they'll send you back to sit down to talk with me again. Listeners, I've been talking to Mr. Kerry Pierre, Acting Chief Budget Officer, and Mr. Justin Hazard, Budget Officer, from within the Ministry of Finance, and really looking at the 2018 budget, and the new law is keeping them on their toes, really. It seems that everybody in line, including the budget officers, the personal responsible for spending, and I do hope they continue to do that for our country's sake. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I wish you a great week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for
it's a pleasure to be here, and we look forward to coming back.
All right, great. Thank you, listeners. I wish you well as you go to the website sgbcgrenada.com, or you can go to the government website within Ministry of Finance. This program will be uploaded there. I am Stanford Simon, wishing you a very blessed, enjoyable, and fruitful week. Join me next week at the same time. We do this all over again right here on the station, Inside Finance. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.